speak about the constricting radical of extended affine Lie algebra, that from now on I will say just EALAs.
Of reduced type.
So first, let me start by defining the constricting radical of a Lie algebra in general. Let L be a Lie algebra. Then we say that an element X in L is an absolute zero divisor if at X square is zero. That is, as usual, XL is zero. When the Lie algebra has no absolute non-zero absolute zero divisors, then we say that L is strongly non-degenerate. In the literature, sometimes you find that they are called only non-degenerate, but I will use strongly all the time. And so the constricting radical of L is by definition the smallest ideal of L such that, or whose quotient, whose associated quotient is strongly non-degenerate. So, the constricting radical can be constructed as follows. We put K0 of L, 0. And K1 of L, by definition, is the ideal of L generated by all absolute zero divisors. This is an ideal of L. And then we construct a non-decreasing chain of ideals by using transfinite induction as follows. So we say that K alpha of L is the union of all beta below alpha, K beta of L, if alpha is a limit ordinal. And we say that K alpha is just K1 of L over K alpha minus 1, other way. So the constricting radical is nothing but the union of all these K alpha. For example, it is known that all elements in K1 of L, when the characteristic of the field is zero, are at nilpotent. So in particular, if L is finite dimensional, what we have is that K1 of L is contained in the solvable radical of the Lie algebra. Hence, if our Lie algebra is semi-simple, then it's strongly non-degenerate. So this is all I wanted to say about the constricting radical of Lie algebra in general. And the second part of my talk is devoted to briefly define or recall the definition of extended affine Lie algebra. And EALA is a Lie algebra over a field of characteristic zero, such that, and we have several actions. First, we need that I will denote the Lie algebra E. So first, we need that E has a non-degenerate symmetric bilinear form that is invariant in the sense that when we apply to elements like this, so this is the first action, which is one of the main ones. We also require that E has a finite dimensional self centralizer and at diagonal like subalgebra H, so we, from here we have that our Lie algebra has a root space decomposition as usual, E0 is just H and the root system is just the support of this decomposition, so all the elements in H star such that E is from zero. One important thing here is that we can transfer the form on E to a form on H star. So this gives us a decomposition of the root system into the isotropic roots and the anisotropic ones. So from here we have R0 by definition is the set of isotropic roots and Rn and we and the subalgebra of E generated by all the anisotropic spaces is what we call the core. So the core is by definition the subalgebra of E generated by the anisotropic spaces. And indeed, this is an ideal. We also need that our Lie algebra is tame. That is, that the centralizer of the core is the center. So when we have an element annihilating the core, it has to live in the core. And another action is that when we consider V the real span of the root system, then if I denote by lambda the subgroup generated by the isotropic roots, this is a free abelian group of rank n. And this n is what is called the nullity of E. And there are other actions that I'm not going to write down because I will not use them in what follows. But for example, we also need that the elements living in the anisotropic spaces are locally adnipotent, and also this part of the root system is irreducible. But so other actions. As a remark, if E is an EALA, then there exists a finite irreducible but not necessarily reduced root system delta, whose type is called the type of E, so that E has a double grading. So we have that E is indeed the direct sum of all alpha in delta lambda in lambda of E sub alpha lambda. And this is, for example, very nicely described in a paper by Allison and Gao. And so, for example, finite dimensional simple Lie algebra are EALA. Also, when the nullity is 1, then we get the affine Kac-Moody Lie algebra. So these kind of algebras are quite general, but it turns out that in order to understand E, it's enough to understand the code. And this has been shown in a very recent paper by Nehar, where if you take E and EALA and you consider L the centerless code, then E can be expressed as the direct sum of L with the center of the code, direct sum, a subalgebra of skew centroidal derivation of L. Moreover, and this is an important fact, is that this part, the center of the code, is isomorphic to the graded dual of D. And because of this fact, we have that there exists a non-degenerate pairing between the center of the code and D. This is a non-degenerate pairing. So another example is when we consider the code, that we know that it's the code is a so-called Lie torus, which is going to have the same type as our EALA, we can study the code, and from here we can construct the whole algebra. So for example, the code of EALA of type BC1 can be constructed
from the so-called extractable toroid. And Professor Faulkner will speak about this kind of toroid tomorrow, I think, in more detail. So now we have all the ingredients in order to state our results, and the idea is that in 2000, Krylyuk proved the following theorem. If E is an EALA of simply lacit type, that is, it's either AL, but in here he considered rank at least 2, type D, or it's P. Then he proved first that the constricting radical of E is actually, well, it's isomorphic to the center of the cone. And using this characterization, he proves that the cone can be expressed as the commutator of the centralizer of the constricting radical of E with itself. So our conjecture is that this theorem is going to hold for all kinds of EALA. But as a first approach, we have the following. If E is an EALA of reduced type, that is that our lambda is not type BCL, then first we have the same, the constricting radical of E is the center of the cone. And second, it's a kind of refinement. The cone is indeed the centralizer of the constricting radical. And just let me make a few comments about this theorem. Regarding one, I point out that, well, first, our proof of I is completely independent of Krylyuk's result. That means we are not proving the remaining cases. We are proving all cases at once. And also the proof is completely different, it's very different to the one given by Krylyuk. And also, one is indeed stated in a more general setting that allows us to include other infinite dimensionally algebras, not only EALA. For example, division graded Lie algebras that were introduced by Yoshi. And regarding two, the point here is to prove that the cone is indeed the centralizer of the center of the cone. This can be proven by using Neher's construction of the EALA starting from the core, and in terms of annihilators, which this means is just that the core is what we call closed, a closed ideal, if we speak in terms of the classical annihilators of ideas. And I think I have time to sketch the proof of how we get to here, because it's very simple and I think it's worth. So we want to prove that the core is the centralizer of the center. I have time, no? 10 minutes. Of course, this is clear because just by definition of the center, we have that this is zero. So this is clear. And to prove this, we have to consider E, as described before, as the direct sum of the centerless core with the center and the skew centroidal derivation. And then if we take an element C in the centralizer, so we express this element as a direct, well, as a sum of three elements in here that I will denote by X, direct sum Z, direct sum D. But note that these two elements indeed live in the centralizer of the center, and also C. So what I'm saying is that D indeed lives in the same place. That is, D, I'm going to write it like this, this is zero. But then, if we consider another element, let's say D prime in D, in here, then using the invariance of the form, we have that zero is the center D with D prime, which is the center D D prime. And this is using invariance. And this implies, because the center and D were non-degeneratively paired, then we have that D D prime is indeed zero. So I continue here. So what I'm saying is that D, all D, is zero. And now I can apply that D is a subalgebra of skew centroidal derivations of L to get that D has to be zero. But if D is zero, I'm saying that my C lives in the core, which is what I wanted. So C lives in the core. And so this is our theorem, and I'm still working out the details for the non-reduced case, and I hope that next time we meet I'm able to erase this. But for the moment, this is our result. And this is all. Thank you. Yeah. I have not thought about that yet.
It's natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every other morphism leaves the core.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean that.
It's independent of the type. And our proof of the first part is completely independent of structure theory. It's a direct proof. While Grilius' proof, he used the classification for the first part. Because my argument depends very much on this condition, that I use that the adjoint, when I take an element in an anisotropic space and I apply it to, let's say, this is going, for me, I need this condition in my proof in order to get the result. And because this is going to live in general, this is some lambda, so this is going to live in general in E 2 alpha 2 lambda plus delta. So I need that this is zero. Well, I mean that this is not a root. Yeah. Someone to clean.
Genau, so.